Well, you got no place to go. I'll tell you what your problem is. You brought your queen out too fast. What do you think? She's one of these feminists looking to get out of the house? Nah, the queen is old-fashioned. Likes to stay home, cook, take care of a man, make sure he feels good.
Checkmate.
I don't think we should see each other anymore.
Hello and welcome to The Place to Be, a Seinfeld podcast. I'm your host, Adam.
And I'm Eric.
On today's episode, we welcome Renee Fea. Renee has appeared in a number of films and TV shows, including And the Beat Goes On, The Sonny and Cher Story, The American President, Where the Red Fern Grows, Interview with the Assassin, and High Roller, The Stu Unger Story. But Seinfeld fans will always remember her for playing Alice in the classic Season 7 episode, The Engagement. And we're so glad she can join us today. Thank you for being with us, Renee.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is fun.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, no, we're really excited to have you. You know, you kickstarted Season 7 and you did such a great job. So can you tell us how the role first came about?
Well, it's so funny. First, the endless fascination with Seinfeld, it always blows me away. You know, it's like it's just been going on and on and on for years. It's like amazing to me, you know, and people see that on your, you know, resume or you're on your IMDb. And there's always a natural curiosity about the show. And I have an interesting history with the show because I worked the very first four episodes of the Seinfeld Chronicles. I worked on as a costume stylist, and I was working for Castle Rock Entertainment at the time, and it was one of the many shows that I was part of, and I was just kind of, I quit art school, you know, moved out west, and started working about a year, 9 months to a year after I got to LA, and one of the shows was the Seinfeld Chronicles, and so they brought me on, and you know, we taped the first four episodes, and then it shut down for like a year or two, and then it came back up, and then I worked on it a bit, I believe, and then it was years later that I got a call, like out of nowhere, and they just, we'd all kind of known each other, and they said, there's this part tomorrow, you know, playing George's girlfriend, it opens up the scene, da, 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 da. And I said, they said, do you want to do it? And I said, yeah. And they're like, okay, be down at the set at 5 p.m. I said, okay, cool. And so I just got down to CBS Radford. I literally walked onto the set, which I'd been on many times before, in a different capacity. And I, in my own clothes, my own hair, my own wardrobe, everything, walked right onto the set, sat down, did the scene, boom, that was it. No audition. So yeah.
Wow. So just going back a little bit, you were a part of the entire first season of Seinfeld?
Yes.
Can you tell us what the vibe was like on the set during that time?
Yeah, I mean, it was still, like I said, it was called the Seinfeld Chronicles at the time. And so everything was just still formulating. And you know, we had a lot of fun though, because it was like a party every tape day, you know, and it was just kind of getting the ball rolling. And I don't even remember if Elaine was in all of them. I can't even remember. It was so long ago. But it was, yeah, it was, I feel like things were just still sort of sorting themselves out. And then definitely with the costumes and then the sets, you know, Jerry's apartment was always the same, you know, with the cereal boxes and the, you know, it just, everything just to me was like the same it's always been. And the coffee shop was always the same. And so I got to walk around those sets in the early, early days, you know, and then I think what was different too, was it was the beginning or the intercut with the, with his stand-up and stuff like that, I think was different in the Chronicles. And yeah, and we were just, you know, I was in charge of like helping out with all like the background actors and the coffee shop and whatever, you know, just kind of dressing people, making sure everyone, and I would, and the guest stars, I'd go shopping and pick clothes for them. And so, yeah, it was like that. And then we went on a hiatus, I remember, and came back. And I remember Jerry telling me he had just, you know, I said, how was your summer? And he's like, excited about his very first Porsche he'd had bought. So something about his Porsche. And then Jason Alexander, I said, how was your hiatus? He said, it was great. He goes, I did this little movie, you know, and I think it's going to be something, you know, the actress, she was really, really great. And it's called Pretty Woman. And her name is Julia Roberts. And I was like, oh, wow, sounds cool. So, and Larry David, you know, he was always the same. I'd worked with Larry not only on the Seinfeld Chronicles and then Seinfeld, but then also on his film Sour Grapes. I was also an art department coordinator on that show because I was still working with Castle Rock. So I worked with him a bit on that over at Culver Studios. It was a different atmosphere there. And it was a lot of fun. I'm just really happy it was a part of my career history as that show, you know?
So you said that Larry's always been the same, like even going back to the Seinfeld Chronicles, because I know he was very miserable on the Seinfeld Chronicles. He had a lot of issues with the network. Were you around for any of that? Did you see that?
I didn't see that with him. The only interaction I had with him was like, you know, picking out clothes and saying yes and no to things like that. I didn't really see any of that. So he may have been not thrilled about things. Yeah. And so everybody, you know, everybody was great. And then when I went back to the show, you know, years later, some of them remembered me, some of them didn't, you know, it had been quite a while, but it was great. I got to sit and have lunch with all of them during when I worked on it as an actor. And then Jason reminded Jerry that I had worked on it on the Chronicles. So, yeah.
So when you got there, was it show night? Did they film your scene on a different day? Oh, it was show night?
It was show night. So I walked in and it was always a fun party atmosphere there. I remember, you know, they would have always had a stand up doing the warm ups before the show. And then, you know, we would shoot and then it was like a party afterwards. You know, the crew would hang around after and some of the cast. I feel like it was on Friday nights usually that we taped, and it was just always a really fun atmosphere. I'd worked on a bunch of TV shows, both behind the scenes and in front. And so that one was always like a really fun show. And then our wrap party was really fun. It was like one of those, I mean, I think people talk about it because it was on top of Griffith Park, the observatory. It was like and that was like a really standout fun party to go to. Yeah. And so I got to take part in it both behind the scenes and in front. And because when I was behind the scenes, I was always like working in clothing and wardrobe, and I was gathering all the pieces, and I was helping Castle Rock create a wardrobe department with all of the clothing from all of their TV shows and films and things like that. And I'd borrow stuff on the weekends and return it. It was fun.
Did you end up keeping anything from Seinfeld?
I did. I used to. I was able to buy things as well. And so I ended up buying a couple. You know, they create closets for each character. And so I bought a couple pieces from Elaine's closet. I don't even think she wore some of them, but I did, you know. And then I'd wear them. And that was so long ago. So I don't think I hung on to any of that. I should have.
And so when you arrived on the set for the engagement, you said it was show night. So you weren't a part of like the table read or anything before that. You just came in for your scene.
No, I forget who called me. I think it was either Brian Myers, who's the casting director, or Michael Ketcher. I know Meg Lieberman, Mark Hirschfeld were doing it as well, but it was either Brian or Mark that called me. I feel like it was Brian. And then he had known me from before. And I can't remember. I'd done a few things since then as an actor. And so they just said, you know, do you want to come down and do this? And I just literally, it was a dream, you know, it was a kind of a dream job, you know, and you walk in and literally they were already going. And I touch up, makeup, boom, walked right on the set, you know? And then I asked the director if I could, I said, you know, she says so little, but maybe I said, should I say the line? Are you happy, Pappy? You're going to say that? And so he's like, no, it's funnier without saying it. I was like, ah, okay. So.
There are also some terrific guest stars who appeared in that episode, including Wayne Knight, Jerry Stiller, and Estelle Harris. So did you get to interact with them at all or watch them perform?
I got to watch them perform, but I never really... No, I didn't interact with them. The only people, like, during the break, during for lunch or dinner, I sat down. We were outside at CBS Radford, and Jason was the first one to sit down across from me. And we were catching up, and then Jerry came over, and he sat down, and he was telling, you know, Jason was telling him about my history with the show. And, oh, yeah, yeah, I remember, you know. And then Newman, I forget the actor. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
he was sitting on the opposite end. And then Michael Kramer came over, and he was just standing there. I'm like, sit down, you know. So it was really fun. So, I got to sit with pretty much all of them, you know. And that was really great. And, it was a really fun night.
Whose performance did you enjoy watching the most?
Oh, gosh. It's all, there's just such a great synergy between all of them. It's hard. You, like, take one out and it just, you know what I mean? It really runs on that energy that they all kind of play off of each other. But it was fun. It was fun to see Michael Kramer just zip in and out of that door all the time and, you know. And it was great. It was great to be on set, like, as behind the scenes too, just to be able to observe it from that point of view multiple times, you know, and just see just where the laughs were and how they, you know, their rhythm, to just really watch their rhythm together. Their timing is just insane. It's great. Yeah. And then when I got on it as an actor, my dad, it was his, like, favorite show. So when he found out, he was just over the moon.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And I still have a Seinfeld Chronicles sweatshirt. I do. That was our crew gift. I still have that.
Ah, that's awesome.
I think I posted a picture of it on my Instagram, but I don't know. I keep misplacing it. It's somewhere. But I do have it somewhere.
Wow, and it's lasted all this time. That's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm sure you can't pinpoint one example, but were there any major differences? I'm sure there were, compared, you know, season one when you were on the show to season seven. Like, just what was that transition like, going there 6 years later and just seeing what the show had become?
Yeah, I mean, it was... like I said, the first four episodes, it was different, you know, and it was still finding its way. And I think that it was new and exciting. And obviously so many people believed in it, but it was still finding its kind of, its, you know, its rhythm. And so once I came back, it was a well-oiled machine, you know? And so when I stepped on there, it just felt like it had a new life to it. You know, there were, you know, when you're in the beginning of a show like that, and you're just trying out different things, and everyone's kind of throwing this and that and in and out of, you know, the scenarios, and you're not sure what's going to actually stick and what's going to actually play out well. And I feel like they had already figured all those things out. So by the time I went back, it was just, you know, it was just, that's why they can call someone and just have them come in without auditioning or needing to be at the table, right? Because they're, you know, you just, well-oiled machine, you just zip in, you know, zip out.
Did they even send you the script ahead of time?
You know, I don't even know if they sent me the script. Usually they do, right? But this was such a quick thing, and it was literally the day before, and I don't even know if I got the script ahead of time. I don't remember, but you know, when you get to the set, they print out the little mini sides and it's there and you read it, and there wasn't a whole lot for me to remember, but I just wanted to play the scene out, you know? And so we didn't, I think we just rehearsed. There was literally an audience there. We just like ran it through together, like quickly. We didn't have the time to do any real, you know, rehearsal. I think we might have just, yeah, one time, maybe two times, if that. Yeah. And then they filmed and that was it, you know.
Was there a cast member you felt the closest to or spent the most time with?
You know, not that day. It was all moved so quickly. So when I sat and had dinner with them, it was, you know, mostly I was talking with Jason and Jerry. But, you know, and even when I was on it behind the scenes on Chronicles, it was, I was dealing most, I would talk to all of them. I didn't really talk to Julia Louis-Dreyfus much or Michael Kramer much. So probably more Larry David and Jerry and Jason, you know, behind the scenes, probably Jason, you know, but it was so minimal and everyone's got their thing to do and you're, you know, everything's moving so fast. So you don't really get to hang out too much, but yeah, it was, it's kind of like, it becomes a little bit of a blur.
You have a favorite memory or story from your experience working on Seinfeld, either during the Seinfeld Chronicles or when you thought your scene in The Engagement?
Well, I think the most fun was just on the tape days of the Chronicles. We just had so much fun. There was that energy and excitement in the air, you know, when you like when you got there and you knew like everybody was really into it and the crowd was into it and you knew there was going to be a party afterwards. And they're just, I loved the tape days were fun. Because prior to that, you're just, you know, I was just gathering clothes or just okaying this or that, you know, when it comes to the background actors and looking at what, you know, who's going where and that kind of thing. And so it was always fun on the shoot day because it just, all the work is done for the most part. And you're just watching, you know, and even behind the scenes, you get to almost become an audience member, you know, at that time, once the work is done and you're just observing, making sure everything's in place and whatnot. So that was always fun. And then, you know, the day I worked on it, it was just, you know, being on set for those few moments, you know, and running the scene. It was kind of magical.
And you mentioned that there would be a party after each show. So where would you go exactly? Was it at a restaurant?
No, we stayed on set. We were there. We just stayed right where we were on stage. And they're just food and the music, things were just right there off to the side, you know, and they'd let the audience studio like out. And some people would stay and, you know, and like I said, the crew usually stayed. And yeah, it was really fun.
So if you could go back and shoot another scene with one of the other Seinfeld cast members, who would it be and why?
Oh. Huh. I mean, I'd love to shoot another one with Jason again, you know. I thought, I think it would be really fun for him to run into some of his ex-girlfriends and, you know, maybe just he just overhears me saying that horrible line, you know, and then I just, yeah. I actually wrote when I was working for Castle Rock, I wrote an episode of, not the, I like a spec script I wrote of Seinfeld because I really wanted to, I had an idea for one episode and I still think it's a good idea, but I wasn't in it. I probably could have been now that I think about it. But it was like like at the time it was like singles night at the supermarket. And so they were, you know, Kramer was wanting to, you know, rope Jason and or George into going there and it just craziness ensues at the supermarket. So.
So you kind of touched on this a little bit already, but do you have any props or keepsakes from your time on Seinfeld?
Just that sweatshirt, just the Seinfeld Chronicles sweatshirt, which I, you know, I don't know how many people have those anymore, but that was it. And then, I had a couple like clothing items from there, but it's been so long and I tend to let a lot of that go, but I do have the script. I have the original script. So I have the script from the time I was in it. I wonder if I have multiple, I have so many scripts. those I do keep. So, and I have my crew lists, like a huge stack of crew lists from the old days when they would print out all these. They probably still do, I don't know. But these great crew lists with everybody's name on them.
Were you ever involved with Seinfeld in any way after that episode?
No, that was it. Like I said, I can't remember if Sour Grapes was after with Larry David. I can't remember. And then I auditioned for Curb at one point too. So that was hilarious. It was one of my most favorite auditions ever because they don't have a script for that show. So it's all improv. Yeah.
Oh, so yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the role you auditioned for?
Yes. I auditioned to play the Virgin Mary in a scene where Larry was hiring actors to play out the nativity scene for a Christmas episode. You just go and they have these strips of paper they give you that just what like the scene's about. And I was like, oh, this is hilarious. You know, so I just went in and it was Larry and Jeff Garland and Bob Whitey, the director, producer. And I think there's like one or two other people. And so, you know, Larry's just started the scene and, you know, we just started swearing and going at each other. It was hilarious. It was quite funny. Yeah.
And just going back to Seinfeld real quick, your episode was actually the premiere episode of the seventh season, which made it one of the highest rated episodes of the series. So did any Seinfeld fans come up to you on the street the next day?
No, but I mean, I got a ton from just people who saw the show air, like that knew me or whatnot. You know, it was just such it's a phenomenon. This show is just incredible. I mean, I've done movies. I've played leads in movies. I've done all kinds of things, but the thing I get asked the most about is Seinfeld. When they see that, you know, you've done Seinfeld, and especially that episode, from what I hear, you know, it's like a, you know, the engagement is like a big episode where Jerry and, you know, George are kind of realizing they need to change their ways and, you know, become men and whatnot. So, yeah.
And you talked about working on Sour Grapes with Larry David. Like, do you have any stories about that? Anything that sticks out to you?
No, I don't. That was that whole movie just sort of, because I worked on a lot of films in the behind the scenes, and it was just such a while ago, and I don't remember. We were over at Culver Studios, and you know, I was in the art department, and I don't remember a ton. So I'd moved from costumes to art, you know, art department. And then at the same time I was doing, I started like dabbling more in acting at that point and then kind of made a complete shift. So I don't remember a ton from that film experience, honestly.
And before we move on to our final segment, is there anything we didn't ask you or any other stories you'd like to share with us from your time on Seinfeld?
Yeah, I feel like I shared most of it. Yeah.
Oh, you had some great stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, it was quite a experience. I'm really grateful to have had it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And have, you know, such a run when you were there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy I got to experience both behind and in front, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty unique.
Yeah, and to have the Seinfeld Chronicles and then also the just Seinfeld, you know. So, yeah.
All right, so before we let you go, we're just going to move on to our final segment. It's called This, That, and the Other. So basically, we just ask you a question. The first thing that comes to mind, you let us know.
Okay.
So first question, what is your favorite film?
Oh, I love Cinema Paradiso. I love Woman Under the Influence. I love Willy Wonka, the original one. Yeah, those pop into my head.
Favorite band or musician?
Oh boy, that's rough. Because I, you know, I play, and my husband and I both play together. We're in a, and we love music, so we're huge music fans in this house. I love Jeff Buckley. I love Led Zeppelin. I love, oh gosh, that's a tough one. There's too many to mention. Yeah.
What role or performance are you proudest of?
Well, you know, I mean, they're all different in their own way. I mean, you know, Where the Red Fern Grows, because it was a, you know, classic children's book, and, you know, it was a period piece. It was a sweet story. I love that. But then I also, you know, having played Cher, playing a living, you know, legend, icon, which it was quite an experience, like a once in a lifetime experience, you know, where you have to, I played her from age 16 to 35 and jumped 4 decades. And so it was a real challenge trying to figure out if you were in the 60s, if you were in the 70s, if you're in the 80s, like where you were, and like how you had to shift so much your body language, your voice, your look. There was, it was a lot. I remember feeling at the time, like if I get through this, like I could do anything. Like, you know, if I can really like nail this, you know, it was a really big challenge, and I loved it. And I loved finding all of the nuances, because when you're playing a living person, it's easy to go into caricature, and you want to make them a real person. And especially someone as identifiable as she was, is, because of her mannerisms and all of her other things, you know, just wanted to make it a real honest performance, you know? Yeah. So they all have a special place in my heart, you know?
Of course. Favorite actor or director you've ever worked with?
I mean, I got to work with Rob Reiner a bunch, and that was a real thrill, because he cast me in, well, I worked with him on A Few Good Men, and I designed a set in that movie because I was just fresh out of art school and learning how to do things. And so he was great. I was nervous because I was, you know, I'd never designed a set before, and I'd never, you know, talked to him one-on-one like that. And he was amazing. And then he cast me in my first film, American President, you know, and so he was awesome with me there. But, you know, I've also worked with Neil Berger, and, you know, I worked with some really great people and really great actors too, you know. I mean, Michael Imperioli's amazing, you know, on High Roller, he was great. And even Dave Matthews was amazing, you know. It was his first film, Where the Red Fern Grows. So we had a lot of fun on that. You know, so there's, yeah, it's hard to pick a favorite. I just feel fortunate to have worked with a big group of great people, talented, creative people.
Do you have any stories about A Few Good Men?
Yeah, when I was on A Few Good Men, I was down there. I was on set. I was starting to learn acting at that time. And so every chance I got, I would sneak down to the set and just stand there behind the scenes and watch. And I was there the day he yelled, "You can't handle the truth." And I didn't know, the cameras were rolling, and I thought a fight broke out. So I was like, "Dang, what's going on?" And I like looked around, and I realized, oh, they're shooting, you know? And so after that, he said that he was like that intense performance, but then he'd just have a cigar and he'd go, "Hey gals," you know, he was just like right back into his, you know, Jack. So that was really wild to be there, because that's to me one of the most iconic moments, right, in film history. It's like that scene. And yeah, I remember it very well, being down there during that. And then that was a fun film too. We had a lot of great times, you know. Catering was like the best I've ever had on that movie. So yeah.
Oh, that's so funny that you thought they were having a fight on the set.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on. It was so intense. And I didn't hear action called. So that's why I kind of was like, yeah. So that was kind of wild.
Oh man. Never gonna be able to watch that scene the same again now.
I know. It's funny.
Most memorable moment working on the set of a film or TV show?
Well, I think on, you know, on And the Beat Goes On, like, we had to move that show, that movie, we had 19 days to shoot that film. It was not a lot. And we never got more than one or two takes. And then when we were on the set shooting I Got You, Babe, the song, they had set up this cool background, like the hullabaloo from the 60s. And that was the only scene that we got, like, 8 or 9 takes. And everybody, all the crew, everybody was singing it after. Like, it was a big, like, sing-along, you know, after we got done shooting that scene. It was, like, it was infectious. Like, everybody loved, you know, because you looked, you know, the way we were dressed in the set and the way it was lit and the whole vibe. It was, like, everybody kind of got into it that day. And it was the only time that we had, more than, like, two takes to kind of get it. And so that was really fun.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a filmmaker, actor, director, singer, songwriter. You do voiceover work. I'm sure I'm forgetting something else, but is there one thing in particular that you enjoy doing the most?
I mean, they all have varying degrees of, you know, excitement still for me. And I think I love doing voiceover. Right now I've been doing a lot of VO. Because I find it really, it's still challenging and nuanced work, and you can play roles that you may not get in real life, you know? So you get to play different characters that, whether I'm doing, like, in video games you get to do, or in animation. And so you just have to, you get to play around a lot, you know, and it's a really diverse field. And I love that, you know? I still love doing music, and I'm photography. I still shoot when I can, and directing. I did a short film, you know, a few years back, called Beautiful Dead Things, that's streaming on Amazon now. And we toured the festivals for a couple years. And so that was a lot of fun to do. It was something I wrote. I wrote as a monologue when I was working in a class, and then I developed it into a short film. And it was a real ambitious first short film, I must say. So it had, like, you know, multiple locations and car shots and special effects. And it was like, it was a little intense.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you haven't done in your career that you'd like to do someday?
I want to do a Western. I love Westerns too. And, I'd like to still want to direct. There's another short film that my husband wrote that I may jump in on as a director and actor. And, I feel really fortunate because I've worked in many capacities behind the scenes. It was a process of elimination for me. So I've worked as a art department coordinator, costume designer, or set, you know, costume stylist, a set designer, art director, set decorator, makeup artist, photographer, director. Yeah. So I've worked in a lot of those, you know, capacities, and I think it's been amazing because when I walk into a set, I just feel so at home. It's just that feeling of just, you are exactly where you need to be, you know, that excitement too, still there. So I just, more of that, you know, you all agree to enter into this really cool bubble for a moment in time and create hopefully something really, you know, special that people will respond to. So I just want to continue doing that in whatever capacity.
And final thing, favorite moment of your career so far?
I love doing, you know, when I do certain things like animation, like I'm on Voltron, the Legendary Defender on Netflix, right? So it's like when people find out, or people's kids find out that you're in that, or you're in Final Fantasy 15, like the video game, which has been around, you know, forever. So, and it, so when people find out you're part of these like really cool projects that have been around forever, and that you're that voice or you're that character, it just makes me so happy. You know, it was like some of the kids just, when the kids like respond to stuff like that, you know, it makes me happy, you know, because a lot of times they don't remember a lot of the other stuff, you know, film wise. So.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. Well, Renee, thank you so much for joining us today. I mean, even though you only had one scene, one word even on Seinfeld.
Yes, I know.
Very memorable, and it kicked off season 7 in the perfect way. And we just thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, guys. This is really
fun. Thank you. Yeah, the pleasure was all ours. And like we always say, you know, even if you only had the one line, one word, one scene, you're an important part of Seinfeld lore. And we thank you for being such an important part of our favorite show.
Oh, thanks. I'm really grateful to be part of that history. It's really pretty cool.
All right, Renee, take care. Have a great night.
All right, guys, you too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to email us at theplacetobeseinfeld@gmail.com. You can also find our show on Facebook at The Place to Be, a Seinfeld podcast, Twitter at TPTBSeinfeld, and Instagram at theplacetobe.podcast. You can find our show on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, and Apple Podcasts. And if you'd like, please rate and review. It really helps us out. Until next time, be sure to hang up your pants for the perfect crease.
You broke up with her because she beat you at chess? That's pretty sick.
I don't see how I could perform sexually in a situation after something like that. I was completely emasculated. Anyway, it's not the only reason.
Yeah, what else?
All right. You want to know what one of her favorite expressions is? Happy Pappy?
Happy Pappy? Yeah. What does that mean?
Like if she wants to know if I'm pleased with something, she'll say, Happy Pappy?
Oh, you're Pappy.
I'm Pappy.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Oh, come on. What, are you kidding?
So tell her not to say it.
I'm much more comfortable criticizing people behind their backs.